what is the Sermon on the Mount actually about? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. I'm really excited about our current series because it's based on a book that I wrote called Eternal Rewards. And it's an exploration of what the Bible has to say about eternal rewards. Bob and Sean were generous enough to invite me to come join the discussion with them on this vital topic. So let's jump right to that discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we're in the studio with Lucas Kitchen, author of Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey, available now at our bookstore. This is about a huge biblical theme, and yet you can go decades of listening to sermons and never hear a sermon about eternal rewards. Isn't that right?
Right, but you couldn't hear decades of our show because we're giving you 3 weeks in a row of eternal rewards.
I would say it almost appears. I wonder if it appears in every show. I'm not quite sure.
I like to end a lot of the shows with saying we long to hear well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah, right, that's kind of your call sign. We're well into this series now, and I think we're going to probably finish in a few more episodes. But the title for this episode is Mountainside Chat. Why is that, Lucas?
It's based on the Sermon on the Mount, arguably Jesus's most famous set of teachings. And I say set of teachings because a lot of people consider the Sermon on the Mount as just sort of an amalgam of different instructions and ideas. And most people, if you were to ask them, what is the Sermon on the Mount about, you get all kinds of different answers. Some would say it's telling us what we have to do in order to be saved. Others would say it's just sort of like a database of Jesus's teaching. But I actually feel like there's a pretty consistent theme that runs through it. And when you're told what to look for, you'll see it as well. And I guess you probably could take a guess at what it is. I believe that the Sermon on the Mount has a lot to do with gaining eternal reward based on how we live.
So Matthew chapter 6, and what are we looking at?
Chapter 6, verse 6.
All right, let me read that. This is Jesus talking about prayer, all right? But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. This is a verse everybody knows. Doesn't
right.
matter if you're Catholic or Baptist or Lutheran or Presbyterian. When you go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to the Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, let me ask you this question. You know this verse, and you've taken the lesson about prayer, but did you realize that this is a rewards passage?
The first rule of identifying rewards passages is, does it have the word reward in it?
This one does.
This is high-grade Bible study.
Yeah, this is absolutely a rewards passage because it has that word in it.
So there's a couple other places where that appears in chapter 6, right? So like in verse 4, it says, Jesus says, actually in verse 3, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Again, everybody knows this passage.
Right.
But listen, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Right?
Right.
That's the second occurrence in that chapter.
And by the way, in both of these examples, you have a major contrast. If you do your work so they see you praying before men, they see you giving charitably before men, that's your whole reward. There's no eternal reward. But if you do it in secret, you do your praying in secret, you do your giving in secret, then you're laying up eternal reward. In the majority of manuscripts, it says openly at the judgment seat of Christ, all other believers will see that you're being rewarded for these deeds.
So basically, if I have a lot of money, let's say, I do not. This is not a problem for me. But let's say I had a lot of money and I built the Sean Lazar Memorial Hall at this seminary or that church. Are you telling me I'm not going to be rewarded for that?
You know, you may have heard of the church, the Crystal Cathedral. Famous pastor Bob Schuller had that. And they had people give money. And if you gave so much money, they put your name on a brick out in front of the church. And I've walked in that area, and you can see all these names of people who gave thousands of dollars to get their name on a brick.
Mm.
Well, I think, based on my reading of Scripture, that likely that's their eternal reward. If I gave money toward a church I don't want anybody to know I'm giving money to that church. I don't want to have it on a brick. Now, sometimes the family members of someone who's died give a large charitable contribution, and then they name a building after the person who's died. That's a little different.
All right. So basically, Jesus is saying, listen, don't do it for the eyes of the world. Oh, you want to be rewarded by the world? You can go ahead and do that, but you're going to miss out on heavenly recognition.
Yeah, but Lucas, you can see this is so radically different than the Judaism of Jesus's day.
Mm. In fact, Jesus says it there that you love to be seen praying. You love to be seen putting coins in the offering box. And what it seems to come down to is, what's your incentive? You know, why are you doing what you're doing? And maybe a dividing question could be, would you still do it if nobody knew you did it? If I was going to mow my neighbor's yard when they're out of town, would I still do that if they never knew I did it? If I was going to do something nice for my wife, would I still do it if she thought it was the kids that did it? I think part of the time we would say, yeah. Some of the time we would say, no, I don't think I'd go to the trouble if I'm not going to get that.
You know, sometimes when I fold my clothes, my wife thinks the kids did it.
Doesn't that hurt?
Oh, because you're so good at it?
Because I'm so good at it.
Yeah, that's great.
So this comes down to what we discussed in a previous episode, motivations.
Yeah.
Some people question whether wanting to earn rewards is in itself a selfish motivation. And we said, no, it's not. It's a godly motivation because God commanded us to seek these rewards. But there is a greediness or ungodliness in seeking rewards and esteem from the world.
Right. I think with what you're both saying, you can see how this plays out both ways. If we believe God's seeing everything we're doing, then if we think we can get away with having an affair and nobody's going to know, well, even if we knew we could get away with it, we wouldn't get away with it because God's going to see and we're going to be accountable to God both in this life and the life to come. But on the other side, on the positive side, if we can do some work and nobody sees that we've done it, we know God has seen it and God is rewarding us. And so it seems to me, knowing that God sees me all the time motivates me to do the good and not to do the bad. Don't you all agree?
Yeah. You know, what sort of stands in opposition to this is what Jesus says only a chapter before in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, which is sort of the opposite of what he says about getting recognition from other people. And this is still in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. Now, I would say that's the opposite of getting recognition and acclaim for doing good works. So they'll revile you and persecute you, but you can rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. It's almost like he's saying, it's not that there's a middle ground, it's either one or the other. You're going to do good works for me, and there's going to be people who persecute you for it. Or you can do good works for the purpose of gaining recognition from the world, and I'm not going to be involved in it. I'm not going to reward you for it.
That's very good. And, you know, you see that in Peter, too, where Peter will say, if you suffer for doing evil, what reward is there for you? But if you suffer for doing the good, well, then this is commendable. This is rewardable. And I agree with you. I think a focus on eternal rewards is a godly focus.
Yeah.
And to somehow say we shouldn't do that is to deny the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount and also all of Jesus and the apostles' teaching.
Yeah. So there's this theme of secret and open, right? And open. So where does the open reward come in? How is that open?
This question comes up a fair amount when you begin to talk about rewards and the judgment seat of Christ. And one of the questions that I've heard a few people ask is, does this mean that when I give an account for my life, that it's going to be a public event, that I'm going to have my life's events portrayed in front of many other people? And it makes sense to me that if Jesus is rewarding in the open, as it says in these verses, that the answer is yes, that there is some public nature to this event we call the judgment seat of Christ. And that makes some people uncomfortable. But I like to remind folks that ask this, that your one passion at that moment, I believe, will be to please Christ. And we probably won't be worried about those people that are standing around and seeing what our life involved.
Yeah, I think there's a similar in 1 Corinthians 4:5. I think Paul implies that this will be a public judgment where he says all of our secrets are going to be revealed on this occasion. And it sure sounds like Paul's saying this will be a public event. And, of course, the parable of the minas is public, where the three servants are judged together.
And what you mean by public is there's going to be other people who witness your evaluation. It's public in the sense that it's only going to be believers who are at the judgment seat of Christ, and it's going to be public to those believers.
Yeah. Well, let's say there's who knows how many, but let's say there were a billion church-age believers. Well, then the judgment seat of Christ will be before all billion. The first century believers are going to see my judgment. The 21st century believers are going to see the judgment of the first century believers. It's going to be all of us in front of all these people. And the Lord's going to be, remember, Jesus talked about him will I confess before my Father. Well, it's also going to be before the entire church.
Yeah. Wow. So instead of Avengers Endgame, it'll be Bob Wilkin Endgame.
Now, I don't know if I got this.
You don't know that.
No, I know Enders. I like Enders Game. But
Enders Game has something else.
Except he killed so many billions of people.
He did. Anyway, that's completely different.
What were you talking about?
I'm talking, mine was relevant. My illustration was relevant.
Okay, I don't know.
But you're going to get a billion views. Basically, okay. your life is going to get a billion.
It's going to be viral.
Yeah,
and you want to make sure that it's a good movie, right? You don't want it to be a bad movie. Actually, one thing that we haven't talked about, and we really need to end it, but we'll talk about it in coming episodes, is not everybody has a super happy ending at this evaluation. We get rewarded unequally, and some people are going to suffer loss. But we'll save that for a next episode. If you have found this series interesting, I really encourage you to go to iTunes.com, listen to the previous episodes, go to our website, faithloan.org, and absolutely pick up Lucas's book, Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey, and get that mindset where you are living not for yourself, but for Christ and for the rewards that he is eagerly wanting to give to you.
A big thanks to Sean and Bob for letting me sit in on that great discussion. I know that I enjoyed it immensely. Well, maybe you'd like to go deeper on this subject of eternal rewards. What I'd like you to do is have a copy of my book called Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. Now, the best way to do that is to go to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You can click on the button that says Store and find our book right there in the store. Now, in addition to this, we have all kinds of free resources right there on the site. You can get a free subscription to our print magazine. I love this magazine. It's beautifully laid out. It comes out 6 times a year. And if you're subscribed, it shows up right in your mailbox. You want more free stuff? No problem. You ought to get subscribed to our daily blog post. This will show up in your inbox and help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture. In addition to this, you ought to get subscribed to the podcast version of this show. Being subscribed means that new episodes will show up on your device automatically as we publish them. So take advantage of this and much more at faithalone.org. Now, while you're on the site, you might be interested in becoming a financial partner. Every gift you give is both tax deductible and very much appreciated because it allows us to continue doing the ministry work that we're currently doing. So find out how to do that on the website. By the way, you may know this, we love to hear from listeners like you. I'm going to tell you how you can reach out to us by giving you our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to discuss what it means to have true riches. Sounds like fun, right? Well, tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.